This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR.
Listening to live and on-demand shows has never been easier on MPR. All you have to do is go to the App Store or Play Store on your device and search up Access Internet Radio NZ. Select and download the first option at the top of the list. Once you've downloaded the app, the next step is to open the app and look for MPR. Once found, select it and then browse freely. Supported by New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today we have with us
Abra Keeney,
Brian Hunter,
Jeff Brennan,
and I'm Stuart Burks. Okay, now Barbara, you were talking about your younger life, and you just moved off the sheep farm.
Yes.
And moved into a place in...
We moved to Gisborne to say farewell to our aunties and relations. Then we drove down to Pahutua, but we stopped at Hastings. And Dad had us booked into a private hotel. And the next day we carried on to a Pahutua to the Burgess farm that was 4 miles out from Pahutua at a place called Kaitawa.
So that's your old, your father's old family farm, is it?
That was, yes, that's right. And I, when we got... I'll never get over this, because when we got to the house, I expected a mansion, and it was an old cottage. And I broke down and cried, and I said to Mum, "I'm not staying here. Take me back to Gisborne." But it never happened.
So how did that compare to the house that you had been in?
Well, the house that we were in, what the homestead... had something like 20 rooms. It had a butcher's room. It had the schoolroom that I told you about. It had a teacher's room. It had a big ballroom. It was very typical. It was only one story, but it was very typical of the homesteads that they built in those days. It was a beautiful home. Everything was built inside was of rimu, tortora, I suppose. But the walls were, if you walk down the passageway, that it was all rimu walls on either side. Mm. Wonderful.
Have you ever been back there?
Yes. Mm. And Stuart and I went back. We did the rounds around the coast, and I was fortunate enough... if I could think of his name, Graham Williams, took us. He had this farm next door to Waia, and he had the key to the state, to the house, actually. The house had been lived in, but 5 years ago, the people had moved out. And he took us back, yes, and we went all over the farm, but the station had been put into... pine trees, and they were logging at that time. No sheep, nothing. Yes. So to come from something immense to try and settle into something that was small. Now I don't know how many cows Dad had, but we didn't stay there long because Dad couldn't farm cows. He was used to sheep.
Yes.
So, after a year of being there, and the community actually really accepted us, and by that time, Rose, who was going to Gisborne High School, came out of there, and Mum sent her to Turukina Girls College, which she didn't like, because she wasn't... She didn't do anything. They didn't do anything about typing. They didn't do anything about shorthand that Rose was taking. And So she said to, after a term, she said to Mum and Dad, I'm coming home to help Dad on the farm, as daughters did in those days, the eldest daughter did. But
so
Dad,
what, if they were helping on the farm, did that mean they were doing the cooking and things around the house or doing the actual farm work?
Who, my sister?
Your sister, yes.
No, helping Mum in the house and going out on the farm and helping Dad on the farm.
Okay.
All right.
So all the standard thing, working with the stock and fencing.
That, yeah, well, that's right. Okay. But well, she helped Dad to a certain extent in fencing, but Dad looked after her.
Yeah.
So Dad bought a bigger farm just out of Pahiatua at Mangarama. That was 400 acres and he ran sheep. He got his brother, who had gone to World War One, and had a farm out of Gisborne at Patatahi. Uncle Fred wasn't married. So he got his brother down from Patatahi to help him on the farm at Mangarama. Now, at that time, Rose was also home, helping Mum in the house, helping Dad on the farm, mainly on the lamb beat.
Yes.
Doing light farm work. In the shearing shed, helping Dad with, while Dad and Uncle Fred shore the sheep, Rose was doing the fleeceo, right? And she was there. Eventually she did a period of time nursing in Whanganui. But World War II started.
So she trained as a nurse? Or?
She didn't finish her training, no. But she was a very good nurse. And she came home when World War II started, and she stayed at home with Mum. And friends of ours who were going to pack it. By that time, Rettie and I and George, that's my brother, were going to pack it to a district high school. And we had chummed up with a friend, the Randalls. He was a stock buyer. He was married to a Maori, and she was from Otaki. She was a Gilbert Mia. And now Mia was one of the troopers during the land wars. And Katie Gilbert Mia, the wife of the Randalls, she was of that line, right? Well, anyway, the children, Pauline and Irene and Huia, were going to the secondary school, and Pauline and Irene knew that Rose Burgess was single, and I know she was lovely looking, and their brother, Jum Randall, who was in the Maori Battalion and he was on leave, the girl said to him, you must come out to Mangarama and meet this lady.
Yes.
There. Well, of course, out he came. The girls brought him out and Rose was busy cooking and helping Mum, and Jum took one look and Rose took one look and that was it. They got married.
Yeah.
And they got married in Pahiatua, and they had the wedding reception out on the farm where all the pikelets and cream puffs and everything else came out, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, so then we went to secondary school in Pahiatua, and that was exciting. And because I feel today that the teachers then were right up with the play and education. My first teacher, she used to read to us all the wonderful Greek tales and everything else. This was Standard 2, which I just loved. Then I moved into Standard 3 with Jack Salt. Jack Salt, he was just a new teacher, and I must have done everything right for him, because at the end of the year he gave me a couple of books, which I've still got. But he was European, and he went, in those days they called it native schools, and he went teaching North Auckland in a school out from Hokianga, in that area. Mm-hmm. And then he came back to the South Island over at Reefton when I was at Teachers College, and he and his wife used to keep in touch with me and wanted me to go over. Well, in those days I had to save my money to go down by boat, by ferry,
yes,
from Wellington to Christchurch by ferry, and I had to have money to come back, and this is during the holidays, so I never really had any spare money to cross over the Alps to go and visit them. Anyway, that's all right. I met them later when I was principal at Tarkerel School. And he and Joyce, his wife, used to read up the papers in the library, and I, instead of coming back to Fielding, I would hop into Palmerston North, have a bite to eat, and hop along to the museum. There I met up with Jack Salt and his wife, so yeah, we kept in touch all the way.
Didn't need to come back and teach at Manchester Street?
Aye?
Didn't Mr. Salt come and teach at Manchester Street?
Yes, he did.
He was deputy principal there when I was there.
Yes, Jack Salt. Mm. Oh, he was a lovely man. He was principal over at Woodville.
Was he?
Mm. Yes. Mm. And he did have a daughter who went teaching too, Jocelyn. Mm. But that's right, he was at Manchester Street.
Mr. Seville was the principal.
Yes, he was.
And Mr. Salt was the deputy principal.
Oh, yeah. Did he teach you?
No, he didn't teach me.
Oh, no.
He had the bright kids.
I think I might have been a bright one for him.
Yes,
because he really had me all. But anyway.
So you got into teaching then?
Eh?
So you yourself got into teaching?
Well, it was only through all these teachers that I met up with. And then that was Jack Salt, and then I had a Mr. Salter, and then I had a principal, Mr. Clark. But my big one was to have Miss Junker at the secondary school. Now, Miss Junker was our form mistress, who was up, she was right, she used to take us off to netball, she would bring us over to Palmerston to play tennis. She was very musical, had us in the choir. All I could remember was, who is Sylvia? What is she? And great French mistress. And George, that's my older brother, he went through secondary school with Miss Junker, and he did French, and they all had to do a speech on an intercom, I suppose, but it wasn't called that. That was broadcasted through the school itself, so they were right up with the play. But anyway, I'm sitting in the classroom. I was Form 2, Standard 6. George would have been the fifth form. And he was giving his speech in French, and he started to stutter, and of course he swore. And then he went back, after he'd finished, he went back, and Miss Unker said to him, George, no matter what you want to say when you have a problem, do not say it aloud. That's what she said. But anyway, I did 3 years French with Mashanka, and I knew I could. I was right up with French because my that was my highest mark in matriculation. So when I now by this time Dad, Mum was very bronchial, and so Dad bought a farm over at Linton. And I was at the stage of going public service, which you did in those days.
Meaning what?
Well, it was similar, I suppose, to UE, but it allowed you to get into the government.
Oh, so it was an exam that you took at
school? Yes. Okay. Yeah. And George had taken it. And he
and this threw was it in what
the Pakitua District High School.
Yeah, but about what time? About 1945?
No. It would have been something like 43.
Okay.
George would have got it.
So you were about 16 then. Yeah.
I was 15.
15.
Yes. Yeah. And George was. Well, he used it. He became. He got into. The government department in Wellington as a surveyor. He was doing surveying type work. And George was quite bright too. Anyway, I was left to go this, and in my time had three top blokes. One was John Hutton, who was my hero. He finished up. He became Sir John Hutton.
Why your hero?
Well, he could play tennis like nobody's business. He was a top pupil, and for a public service, out of something like 2,000 who sat it, he was the top one. But basically, it was because. He was into sport, played cricket, and he played tennis, and and we were there. We used to study together, and
Yeah.
Public service was the equivalent of the sixth form certificate or university entrance.
No. Matriculation was university entrance.
Okay. So it's an extension.
Public service was a step below matriculation. Okay. Right, but it allowed you to get into the government department.
Yes.
Right. So I then Dad went over to this other farm, and at this stage, Retty was into music and into piano and doing very well. So she went and studied just music at the convent, and she sat ATCL at 15 and was top marks for LTCL at 16, and I just plodded along my 1 year at girls' high, swatting and making sure I was going to get through, because my dad wanted to send Retty off to England, because she was brilliant.
Mm.
But my dad said to me, Barbara, he said, I can't send you to university, he said, because you eventually will marry and it will be your husband that will look after you. Now, they thought like that in those days, see? So
but
I thought.
You didn't think that with your sister?
Eh?
You didn't think that
no,
with your
because
sister?
She was musical, and Dad was musical.
Okay.
And music.
And so that wouldn't be a career for her, but it was something, an interest to follow, you know?
Well, no, I don't think it would have been a career. Now, in those days, you know, pianists were well known. I'm thinking of at the moment, I can't think. But anyway, pianist did very well. But
this was wartime as well, was it? If you're talking about.
This was wartime.
That's and right. You're still thinking, send your sister over to England in wartime to study piano?
Yes, he was going to do that.
Okay. Mm. So was it the was war something that really didn't figure much in your life?
Well, it did, because George was in Wellington at the time when the first echelon men came back from service from the Middle East, and they met up with all the Americans in Wellington, and George was right in the middle of this huge fight that they had.
That's 42, isn't it?
Yes. That went on up Manor Street and all over the place. And at that time, George was a big boy, for 17, he would have been at the time, and he got what for? Why aren't you in the services? So he joined up in the Air Force. He wanted to be a pilot, but he was short-sighted like me. And he went in as ground crew and served up in the islands. My brother was in the army, and he went through the northern part of Egypt, over Tripoli. But basically in Italy at the bottom, worked up through to Florence. But he was lucky. He became a driver for one of the colonels of a battalion. So he and another chappie, and they just took turns in driving for the colonel.
So your brothers were all serving in the armed forces, and your sister was going to London to study music?
Yes. Well, Dad would have sent her there.
And I suppose the worst of the Blitz was over by then.
Well, it was getting towards the end of a... it would have been 44, roundabout.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because 45...
Yeah.
45.
Oh, well, the V1s and V2s.
Yeah, 44. I finished my year at Girls High, and I sat matriculation, but didn't have results. And ready 44. That was ready 43. Would have been studying music. And she, in actual fact, was the pianist for Dorothy McKeag, who married Donald Campbell in England, who set his sights on breaking the record.
Oh, the world speed record.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ah. And he was carrying on with another woman, so he sent Dorothy home to Palmerston North. Now, the McKeags, McKeag was the dentist in Palmerston North.
Yes.
It was his daughter, Dorothy, and they had twins, too. They were at Teachers College when I was there.
Yes.
And Rettie used to play. Dorothy had a beautiful, beautiful singing voice, and Rettie used to play for her. They went everywhere together. And Donald Campbell sent Dorothy back to Palmerston North and said, got a divorce, because he said that she was the one that had walked out on him. She was the one that had committed adultery, whatever. So I then finished off Girls High, and then I took myself to Rewa, teaching, and had no training.
How many children at Rewa for that period?
I started off with 7. I got up to 9. I Well, seven was the one. No, I thought, oh, well, I'm all right. But then that seven went from infant right up to form two. Mm-hmm. Now, Joy Weston was the one. Joy Weston, would you remember?
No, no.
She was with the, she lived with the, just down the road from the Colemans where I was.
Quinlans?
Yes, yeah, she lived with the Quinlans because they'd lost their son, Bill, in a bus accident. Mm. And Joy came and lived with them, I think probably for just the year that I was there. So I had May and Jim Coleman's son, Alan, in Primer One, hadn't been to school, and Joy, who was in Form 2, and I had the Newcombs, remember, the Newcombs, and I had Maureen Bengston, who was Primer 4, and I had the McDonald children, Jean and Lorna.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Yes.
So was it difficult teaching such a broad age?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Well, the first month, I walked in my sleep, I talked in my sleep, I did all sorts of things because I didn't know what to do.
So you had different material for each child?
That's right.
But and they were all in the same room?
All in the same room, and you had to teach them. Mm. Yeah. Well, fortunately, I knew the director of the PDC, and I've forgotten his name. His wife, you know the PDC that was.
Yes, it was. Mm.
And I can't remember his name, but anyway. His wife was a teacher, and the last stages of 44, when I was going matriculation, I had to have extra lessons in biology, and her daughter lived with her, and she gave me extra coaching, right? Now, the director's wife, forgotten her name, I've got the letter too. When she knew I was going out to Rewa, she listed all of the things I needed to do and take. And so I kept in touch with her, so she was able to give me a start on what to give Alan at Primer 1 level and what to give Joy at the Form 2 level. And also our teaching at Pākehī Kura was Dave Huggett.
Yes.
Would you remember Dave?
No.
Dave Huggett, and his school used to join with Rewa in doing things. So the first month we had a picnic.
Yes.
Picnic and races. And Dave came down and we joined to do that.
Yes.
Halfway through the year we had a school fancy dress ball.
Yes.
And Dave taught his children, we got together and decided this is what we were going to teach. So Dave taught his children whatever. And I taught my children whatever, like, I see you, la, 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 la. But we had to have music. And I said, that's all right. We'll get Retty out to play. Now, Retty at that time was into playing all the extras that for the dancers in Palmerston North. And she used to go out to the Air Force base and play for the dancers that they used to have.
What do you mean the extras?
The extras, well, at the ANA they had an orchestra which was the commandos.
Yes.
And the commandos would go off and have supper and people wanted to carry on dancing. So Retty would go in and play the music for them. So she knew...
On piano?
On piano. And she'd get them dancing the Gay Gordons and the Gypsy Tap and the Maxina and everything else. But out at the Air Force Base, she would play fully... she was the pianist for the small band that they had out there. And Retty used to wonder why all the girls wanted to go out with her. It was because they wanted to see all these blokes out there.
This is part two of four. Listen next week for part three.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
Support this program and others like it by giving a donation to NPR. More details at npr.nz.